You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up on our summer music series Setlist, we'll hear from the Davenport, Iowa band, The Multiple Cat.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news, the Wisconsin News Roundup.
Governor Walker endorsed Donald Trump this week and said he'll be speaking at the upcoming Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
Also this week, Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, submitted an amendment that would create an exception for voucher schools. And we learned a certain brand of Wisconsin soda is making a comeback.
Robert Menser joins us now to give us the latest on those stories. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
So starting with Governor Scott Walker, he has not been the best of friends with Donald Trump, but he has, I guess, thrown his support behind Donald Trump this week. Maybe not a full-throated way, but what happened this week, Rob?
Yes, Governor Scott Walker gave Donald Trump sort of an all-time great lukewarm endorsement. He tweeted, his tweet was, "Last August, I said I'd support the GOP nominee. It's now clear who the RNC delegates will vote to nominate, and he is better than she is." So, yeah, I mean, you can, I think I know who he's talking about there. I'm pretty sure that's Trump and Hillary Clinton. So that's I will count it as an endorsement, but it's not real enthusiastic.
Did he run out of characters on Twitter?
I mean, yeah, well, this is a fair point. This is a fair point. The medium itself has some constraints. And you know what? I mean, this has been Walker's stance basically since the end of the Republican primary. He's never been or really signaled that he was a never Trump guy. He always has said that he would support the Republican nominee over the Democratic nominee. So the news is this is more explicit than he has been. And for sure, the fact that he is choosing to speak the Republican National Convention, which not every, not all of his fellow one-time candidates are, is a sign that he's on the Trump train. I think that we can sort of deduce from his statements that speech is likely to be heavy on attacks on Hillary Clinton and maybe a little light on kind of substantive positive support for Trump. But who knows? Maybe we'll see.
So you don't think he necessarily has to amp up his support for Trump if he's speaking?
I mean, I guess the thing is, like, it's going to be under a microscope now, right? Everyone's speeches will be, they'll be analyzed by the political junkies for are they trying to keep a little distance between themselves and Trump. But the other thing that we know from sort of political science that is that one of the major motivating factors for voters in America today is what is called negative partisanship, which is you're not voting for the guy or woman who you particularly like, you're voting against the other party. And so, maybe there's probably going to be a lot of that going around at both conventions.
And sticking with presidential politics for a bit, Donald Trump met with Congress this week, members of Congress, Republicans in the House and the Senate. So what did we hear about how those meetings went? Any updates from Wisconsinites like Paul Ryan, Reed Ribble, and Sean Duffy?
Yeah, it was it's like the blind men describing the elephant, right? Sean Duffy, who is a House member who supports Trump, came out, said he thought it was a great meeting. Everything went great. They're building trust. Representative Reed Ribble from over the Green Bay area, who is retiring from Congress this year. He's not seeking reelection, and he is pointedly not a Trump supporter. He came out and said he didn't think the meeting moved the needle at all, and he hadn't changed his mind. Paul Ryan, of course, House Speaker, said that it was a good first step. Everybody is starting to get along. So I think it's who you how you saw that meeting depends on where you sit on this question of is Trump an acceptable candidate.
It's our state news roundup, and we're catching up with Rob Menser, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. And also in state news, Senator Ron Johnson introduced an amendment that would block the Department of Justice from enforcing parts of the Americans with Disabilities Act for voucher schools. Tell us about that one.
Yes, and Senator Johnson's point of view would be that it clarifies the current law, but I guess this is part of the problem. So this is all inspired by an investigation that was opened by the Department of Justice into a voucher school in Milwaukee. That investigation was closed, and there are no charges brought against this school. But the way it came about was that school had been subject to a lawsuit by the ACLU that said that they were not complying with Americans with Disabilities Act rules. And so Johnson's amendment, which is sort of, he attached it to a federal appropriations bill. That bill hasn't passed, but it's sort of a slightly weird. He's stuck on this policy thing. The idea would be that it would prevent the DOJ from doing such an investigation or from looking into those types of issues with schools that receive vouchers.
And what have we heard from critics of that amendment so far?
Well, so the substantive issue really is interesting. So the law requires that public schools provide free, appropriate public education to all students, including those with disabilities. And that is sort of, that's our consistent with our sense of what a public school ought to do. It means a lot of things. It means that school buildings should be accessible to somebody who uses a wheelchair, but it also means all kinds of things about giving accommodations for children who have learning disabilities or who are on the autism spectrum or you know, whatever it may be. They do get some other sorts of federal funding to provide those special education services, but that takes a lot of money and effort for public schools to provide those that type of education. And private schools are private; they don't have to do any of that. The argument here is that if you're a private school, then okay, you're a private enterprise; you follow the rules you want. But once they accept public money, taxpayer money in the form of school vouchers, then they should become open to the same sorts of educational requirements when it comes to students with disabilities. So, that's an argument that's used typically by people who are opposed to school vouchers in the first place. But it's sort of, there's a certain appeal to it. It makes sense, right? In general, you would hope that schools would be open and would be providing, accommodations to special education students as needed.
And we're going to wrap up, Rob, talking about a surprising comeback in the world of Wisconsin soda. I remember the name Jolly Good. Is it something you remember, or are you too young?
Yeah, no, I've never heard of this. Well,
I have to
admit the shameful truth that I grew up in Central Illinois.
Ah, gotcha.
So that's probably why I missed it. But yeah, this was I want to say this is the biggest non-horrible story of this week. People are really, really excited about the return of Jolly Good Soda. This was it sort of started in the 70s. I think it peaked in the 80s and into the 90s. In Wisconsin, and the news that USA Today Network Wisconsin reported out of Sheboygan this week is that it's going to make a comeback. It had it was known at its heyday for like a bunch of crazy flavors, and they're bringing it back with cherry flavor and grape, some of these different fruit flavored type sodas. Not to my taste, but I guess some people this is what they want out of their soda. And the owner has produced a test run of 22,000 cases of it using original recipes, and it's being sold right like in the area around the craft plant in Random Lake, and they're talking seriously about taking it statewide or making it something you can order online or taking it all over the nation. People are excited.
For now, limited distribution. You got to head up to certain areas to get it. Well, Rob, thanks a lot for joining us this week.
All right. Thank you.
That was news editor Rob Menser. He joins us every week at this time for our Wisconsin News Roundup.
And I'll just tell Rob that I'm from Chicago and I know all about Jolly Good Soda. So maybe it is a generational thing.